people these days are not interested in reading a big block of text. So even if you're actually saying the same words that you would have written in that paragraph, if you do it in a video, people are more likely to stick around, listen to it, and understand it, and then be more interested in the other things on the site.
We're on a mission. We're going to find and uncover the smartest, most successful entrepreneurs on the planet, explore their highs, their lows, and how they ultimately mastered the game. I'm Martin Cook, and I'm excited to welcome you to the Smarter Destiny podcast. I'm grateful for you and your time. Now let's level up together.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another Smart Destiny podcast, where this time we are joined by the man, Jeffro Folkerson. Jeffro is the founder of Frobro.com, which is a digital marketing agency that helps small business owners with their online web presence turn visitors into customers. That's the formal definition, but really Jeffro is on a mission, an absolute mission, to rid the world of terrible websites, not only helping the website owner get more of whatever their website's out there to do, but also to help the people looking at the websites, the you and me who are browsing the websites, just have a less shitty day with terrible web design. Jeffro has spoken on many podcasts as well as physical stages, and he's worked with rather large, well-known brands and charities such as Goodwill in SoCal. So today we're going to learn about what we can do to improve our own websites, which means e-commerce websites as well, y'all, to perform as we're hoping they should, to perform closer to how we get frustrated when they don't perform that way, right? If that makes sense. We're going to try and get more out of our websites, and all you have to do is just tune in to this show, stay glued in, and Jeffro is going to walk us through how we can do those things. So without further ado, let's welcome him to the stage. Jeffro, how's it going?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Martin.
Great to have you on. So Jeffro, I don't know whether to ask about where you are in the world or to ask about the fro in Jeffro first, but I'm going to say, whereabouts in the world are you right now, Jeffro?
I'm in Southern California. So sunny sound, it's always sunny here. It's actually extra hot right now. I was hoping for fall weather, but it's good. Can't complain.
Oh, same here. Same here. It is raining really hard. That's what you said, right? Lots of rain in Southern California.
Something like that. Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. And so what's the meaning of the fro? So I can see, for those of you watching the video, you can see that behind Jeffro is a nice sort of Afro-laden logo. It's right there on Frobro.com, his website. Is there some kind of story behind that before we get into your own story?
Definitely. Well, it's related to my story. So when I grew up, I always had a short haircut. I had a flat top crew cut. I didn't even know my hair was curly. So my mom started, you know, telling me, hey, grow out your hair. So I finally did in high school. And it turned out it was curly and I had a fro. And so I went with that and people liked it. People would be walking in the halls and just, you know, a random girl reach out and touch my hair. I'm like, I don't know who you are, but I suddenly, it made me stand out. It made me get noticed. It was a conversation starter. And so fast forward a little bit, when I was starting my own company, it made sense to me to have the fro be the focus, because obviously my nickname is Jeffro. That comes from, you know, my name is Jeff, but I have a fro, right? So the idea of a fro giving me the ability to stand out, start conversations, and grab attention, that's what a good website should do for your business. It should be that great first impression that stands out and people want to come in and see more. So that's what I want to do through my business and help business owners. And that's why there's a fro.
I love that link. All right. So what we like to do is we like to go back on the show, go back to go forward. We like to learn more about the person speaking, where they came from, what their background was, why they quit the safe stuff to do the dangerous, risky stuff that we do as an entrepreneur. So if you've got a time in your past that you can tell us about, please take us back to that time and paint us some kind of word picture.
I'll do my best because there's always so many parts sprinkled throughout. I think I've always had the entrepreneurial spirit. Even as a little kid, I did the lemonade stand and selling cookies in front of my house to all the bikers going by. I learned my first lesson in, you know, expenses, because my parents had bought the ingredients for the cookies and the lemonade. And then afterwards I said, look at all this money I made. And they're like, okay, you owe us this much for the lemons and everything. I'm like, ah, so that helped me learn my first lesson. But from there, even in high school, I would go to the bulk stores and buy candy. And then I'd have a bag with me in class and sell it to my classmates at a markup, raising money to put a stereo in my car, things like that. So that
noble charity.
Very, very noble. So, I mean, that was always kind of how I approached things. Like, there is a way to make more money. I don't have to just wait and see what happens. I can kind of make my own path forward. I did go to college. I studied computer science. I didn't really see, I always knew computers was in some form what I wanted to do or be involved with. But I was always on the side doing websites and things for family and friends. So at a certain point, I decided to start my own business, and that was FroBro. And it kind of coincided with, I was working with a startup at the time, and then they were having some financial, you know, hardships. So maybe a paycheck got missed here and there. And so it kind of became like, all right, well, this is a good time to give my focus to FroBro and turn this into a real business and grow it. And that was the plunge, essentially. And here I am today.
A story that to not be rivaled by any other story. So you've got your startup job that you're working for that's paying you startup money, promises, yeah. And IOU notes. And fortunately, you've got this asset on the side, FroBro.com, and a computer science degree behind you. And so you're making websites. At what point did it become less of a sort of hobby or thing that you can do and more of a mission?
Pretty early on, because when I first started, it was more just the web design, you know, build the website. But I quickly realized that business owners don't just want a pretty website, they want more customers. So that's when I kind of started shifting my approach and started adding additional services to help support that endeavor. So building a great website is part of that. That's still an important step where, you know, you need to be thinking about the conversions, the look and feel, user experience and all that. But you still need people to get to that website. It doesn't matter how good it looks if no one ever sees it. So that's when I started adding in SEO and ads, you know, email marketing, all that good stuff to help continue that process for these business owners so that they're not just left hanging, hoping that this new website will do what they want it to.
Nice. And what sort of things do you see? Like, what are some of the common failures you see of website owners around the world, across the spaces? What sort of common, you know, you hate to see it because it's so easy to fix type mistakes do you see time and time again?
Well, I could ramble about this for a long time, and I've done talks on this, so you got to stop me if I am going too long. There's so much. So let's see, web design, a lot of people just do the free page builders, right? And they pick their template that they think looks nice, which is fine if you're just starting out. I'd say don't stay there. But let me tell you some of the problems with that is, number one, you look more generic because a lot of other sites have those similar layouts. And number two, you make some decisions that might hurt your load time. So for example, if you pick a template with a big slider and you slap in a dozen photos in there that are going to scroll by every few seconds, most people never wait around to watch all those photos, but you still have to load them. And so that's load time that you've added to your page. It's going to slow down the time it takes before someone actually sees something. And so they might leave. They might even not stick around. They'll just go find somebody else. So that's one thing. Dealing with those image sizes as well, you should be resizing them beforehand. People don't think about how, you know, on their phone, they might take a picture, and phones these days take huge images with gigantic resolutions. And that's helpful for print quality, but on screen, you don't need a resolution that high. And so that's wasted data that you're transferring for every page load. So you need to shrink it down. You need to pick better dimensions because otherwise you download the whole thing and then the browser shrinks it for you. So you don't think about that. It just works. But you have to remember, not everyone's on a high-speed internet connection. And so someone that's on a slower line, or maybe they've got someone on a video call in the other room, they're going to blame you that your website's slow. They're not going to realize it's their internet connection. So you have to do everything you can to make sure your site loads quickly. Another thing is on the SEO side, that which people don't think about at all. You know, they just hope their site will be found by Google. But there's a million sites out there that start with home. The title tag on their homepage just says home. But to Google, that are you selling home goods? I mean, are you a Home Depot? Like, what sort of home gardening? We don't know, right? So get that out of there. You can still put the word home in your menu on the page, but your title tag needs to have keywords for whatever you're selling, whatever your services, whatever your products are, something that someone is going to be typing into Google. That should be a keyword in your title tag. And same thing with your H1 tag, the main H1 heading on your page. Slap that in there. that's the lowest hanging fruit you can do for SEO is put keywords in those two spots, which so many people just skip over that. But I'll pause for a second if you have anything you want to dive into more.
No, absolutely. I think the world of SEO is an interesting one. It can often be an afterthought. And so many people, like you said, make those mistakes home. Like, what on earth is it? As well as, like you said, with the page speed, it's not just that they might be on a slow internet speed. So much browsing is done on mobile phones, right? And mobile phones may well not be connected to Wi-Fi at the time. They may well be connected to some kind of cellular network and not necessarily well connected to them. And so you need to accommodate that. There's something I heard interestingly, and recently, something that I found interesting, shall we say, was that on the SEO side, Google has started, upvoting the websites that have links to their various policies on things that are important in modern times. So modern slavery, gender equality, accessibility, like all of the kind of embracing things that society has taken in its stride, these important things, actually having those on your websites, even if it's possible to display your photos on your website and to show that you've got a diverse workforce, for example. Apparently all of those things Google are now actually using behind the scenes. I'm not sure they're publishing this so much, but using this behind the scenes to assess whether your website's a great website that they want to show on their search engine. It's really, really important and well worth a second look there. So it's great that we're speaking the same language here, as it were. So you talked about page speeds, page load speeds. Now I heard a stat that for every 1 second extra load time, so every extra second you make your visitors wait to load, for example, a checkout page, your conversion rate drops by approximately 1%.
Yeah, I'll trust you on that. There's been a bunch of different studies and the answers all vary slightly, but the important takeaway is that it goes down, right? Mm. So that's something you can control in a lot of instances. If you're hosting your own website, you can beef up what level of hosting you're using to have more resources, or you can do what we're talking about, shrink down the images, minimize what needs to be there for the checkout so that it just comes up right away.
So what else can people do to make their website a more joyful experience for the audience viewing it?
Great questions. Let's get rid of as many pop-ups as possible. I think as a lot of business owners, we think of pop-ups for our needs. And so we want people to join our newsletter. So we put a pop-up there to tell them to join, or we put something in front of them because we want them to download our new whatever it is, right? But you have to be thinking from the perspective of the customer and realize that most pop-ups just annoy people. So so you think about what's in the pop-up, the content of it, but also when you display the pop-up, because those are both important factors. So number one is when you display it. If the first thing I do when I go to a blog post, I get a pop-up in my face, I'm not even going to read it. I'm on the X before it's even registered what text is on that pop-up, because I'm now annoyed. I'm here to read an article and you're interrupting me. So I don't want an interruption, but I might be okay with a value add later. So what you can do is trigger that pop-up after I've scrolled down 80% of the page or something, because now you're not interrupting my reading. I'm probably finishing the article now. And if that pop-up is related to the content on the page, and maybe it's offering me something of value, now I'm more likely to be interested in it because you let me read and now you're offering me something. So as an example, for that content focus on the pop-up, instead of saying, put your email, join our newsletter. Okay, how about join our newsletter and we'll send you our free guide on how to improve your e-commerce conversions. Something like that, right? Now it's a value, it's a trade-off, right? So they have to decide, oh, I do want that. I'll give you my email, right? And they don't feel as upset or frustrated, like you're just trying to get something from them because you're now first providing value. So those are the two main things. When you show the pop-up and what is in the pop-up itself, are you helping them or just bothering them?
This is brilliant. I mean, have you got any more?
Don't use too many pop-ups. I occasionally will see a site that's got like 3 or 4 different ones. And that, again, is just annoying. So reduce that as much as possible. Be intentional about what's in the pop-up you're going to display on that page, and that will help. One other thing I will mention is honor the dismissal. So when someone clicks the X, you need to remember that and not show them that pop-up again for at least a week or something. Because if you show it to them on every page, guess what? They're just going to get more and more frustrated with you because you're not listening to them. And that translates to their view of your brand, right? Because you're now telling them, we don't listen to our customers if you keep showing them that pop-up, and you're showing that you're putting your own interests above theirs. So it's a subtle psychological thing, but when you honor that dismissal and, okay, I'll back off for a bit, that helps their user experience. And then maybe later they're more ready to see that at another time.
I suppose that'd be like going into a store and having the having whoever's greeting you say, hey, is there anything I can do to help? And you're like, no, I'm good. I'm just browsing. And then 2 minutes later, hey, is there anything I can do to help?
Exactly.
No, I'm just browsing X, you know, physical, because you can't actually slap them on the forehead. Go, I'm exiting you.
Yeah,
I can imagine how that gets quite frustrating. It's the website equivalent of it. What about things that are nice things to have on your website, which actually people don't, not a lot of people do? Like maybe in 2022, there's some sort of new trends or things that you're seeing as being quite nice, welcoming or effective things to have on websites?
A video is always helpful on the homepage. If you're a brand that is new or you're trying to set yourself apart in some way, having something on that little homepage hero section that talks about really briefly who you're trying to help, what you're trying to do, and why those people are in the right place. People these days are not interested in reading a big block of text. So even if you're actually saying the same words that you would have written in that paragraph, if you do it in a video, people are more likely to stick around, listen to it, and understand it, and then be more interested in the other things on the site. So the quicker you can convey that message to them, what you're about and why they should hire you, work with you, buy your stuff, the better off you'll be.
Really like that. And it's that personal touch. It's the, you know, here I am. This is why I exist. This is why we're the same people. That's why we should work together. That's why we should do business. What about tracking? So you said people like to see a video. They're not necessarily reading the text. What kind of tracking can we put on our website so that we can better understand our visitors and sort of confirm, like maybe in a split test between video and the text, which is better?
Yeah, I mean, the split test is definitely the way to go. I will say there's obviously different types of people. Some people do prefer to read, especially some of the older generation. That's just what they're used to. And the younger generation tends to migrate towards video. So if you can do both without making things cluttered, okay, sure, maybe prioritize the video, but then have the text further down or some variation of that. But split testing is a good way to go. Make sure you're always changing one variable at a time so you know what's improved. And you start with the big things like headlines or the hero image or the video, no video, different thumbnail on the video. And over time, you just switch to the main version. Okay, make one more tweak, do another split test. And you just keep iterating on that until you might be getting 1% improvement each time, maybe you get 3%, but over time that adds up. And now suddenly you've got, you know, a 20% improvement on your conversion after doing this for a couple months. And that obviously is going to help you quite a lot. One other thing that can help besides just the generic split testing is heat map tools, where essentially they're tracking eye movement on a screen of where people are looking and what they're clicking on and how long they spend on each section. So you can get a more in-depth analysis of the customer behavior on your site. And so if you're finding that people's eyes are falling to a certain area on the page and you don't want them looking there, then maybe you now know, okay, that's a distraction. I need to change that image, or maybe I need to move my call to action button over there so that they see it and they're more likely to click on it. In some cases can be more expensive, maybe take a little more time to get set up. But if you're going to invest in your brand, that obviously is a great way to really understand your customer and how they use your site and give them the best experience possible that leads to your desired outcome, which is more purchases.
Brilliant. And so where can people learn more about Frobro, your services, and find out more about you or even get in touch?
Sure. Well, you can always go to frobro.com. Pretty easy to remember. And then I'm on all the social channels at Frobro Web. But I mean, you can email me, jeffro@frobro.com. Let me know you heard me on the podcast. I'd love to have a conversation. What I like to do with my customers is if you want to work with me, I'll have a conversation with you and learn about your business and what you're trying to accomplish, and make sure I understand what your goals are, but also what you really want behind what you're saying, because sometimes those don't match up, especially people that aren't as tech savvy. So they might think they know what they want, or, you know, oh, I heard I need to make my website better or something. And so then I can kind of filter through that and say, okay, here's what we need to do, and make a plan for them that's going to work specifically for their business and not just, you know, checking the boxes that they thought you're supposed to do online.
I think that's brilliant. And because there's a big difference between a website that, we said this at the beginning, that looks good or doesn't, as the case may be, and a website mm-hmm. that actually does what you want it to do, which may be right. more customers, more leads, mm-hmm. or business generally. So frobro.com is where you need to go, or any of the socials that Jeffro mentioned. Right, at this part of the show, we like to go into the rapid fire question round. I ask the questions quickly. You can choose the speed in which you respond. Are you up for that?
I'm ready. Let's bring it on.
Two thumbs up for that. There they are. Let's go. Right. Who is a great leader, whether alive or dead, and why?
There's so many. I have to pick one. Okay. I guess it depends on the realm. So leadership, John Maxwell. Entrepreneurship, there's Gary Vee, there's Tony Robbins, is, you know, covers the line between entrepreneurship and personal growth. And I think if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you need to focus on personal growth. So we'll stop there.
Nice. What is one of your proudest moments?
Ooh, well, I mean, I've had three boys, and there was one moment after my first son was born, and we were in the hospital. My wife was sleeping in the bed. My son was sleeping in the little, you know, hospital crib thing. And I just, my heart was full. I was proud. That was my family.
Oh, amazing. I thought you were going to say surviving three boys, and that might just be, that's more a reflection of where I'm at. I've got two boys, and I'm thinking, wow,
add another 50%. That's still up in the air. That's still up in the air.
What's one interesting fact about you that not many people would know?
I once won an animal making sound at the county fair when I was younger for making a cougar sound. I can't do it anymore, but I won first place.
You scuppered my next question or request.
My voice changed, puberty. That it didn't work after that.
What daily routines do you have, whether morning or evening, that have helped make you successful?
Getting as much sleep as possible helps, having that routine, and then exercise. Because some days, if I don't exercise, I just feel totally off and blah and draggy, and I can't focus on my work. I'm much less productive, much more prone to distraction. So I find that when I'm sleeping well, exercise, and even when I eat better, I perform a lot better as well.
What kind of exercise do you prefer?
Either running or doing like a workout video. I've tried the Chris Hemsworth Center app. They actually have a lot of good workouts on there. So that's been great the last couple of years when I couldn't go to the gym.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we've all had to kind of evolve a little bit there in the exercise. I've been known to barbell curl or dumbbell curl. I've always muddled those two up. My son, basically, he was a good sort of warm-up weight there at the time.
That does grew, keep my so arm strong. Yeah. Carrying exactly. My boys around, that's how I stay strong.
What book or books changed your mindset or life?
So T. Harv Eker wrote a book called The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. I've listened to the audiobook multiple times, and that one is huge for getting into, in terms of personal growth, shifting your mindset about money and how you approach success and everything. And that was like rocket fuel for me. So I highly recommend that.
Beautiful. And does he narrate it in the audiobook?
No, he does not. But the one who does a great job.
That's a great job. Sweet. What's the most exciting question you spend your time thinking about?
How can I reach more businesses to, get rid of these terrible websites? So I'm always thinking of ways to get on stages or do campaigns where I can reach out to people.
Nice. What advice would you give your younger self?
Probably start sooner and go read T. Harv Eker's book.
Do it earlier. How young or old were you when you read it first time?
Only that was like less than 2 years ago. So I was still, I already had the business and was doing things, but that just helped so much in terms of making sure I was getting out of my own way and able to make progress a lot faster.
Beautiful. What was your biggest challenge starting in business and how did you overcome it?
At the time, I probably would have said money, just to make sure I had money to invest and, you know, cover the jump, right? But I think looking back, you know, mindset was a big part of it, even though I didn't realize it at the time, where I had doubts about, you know, myself, am I going to be able to do this? You know, I want to, is it going to work? If I don't, am I going to let down my family? You know, things like that. So having to sort that out, I think it was probably part of the early challenges.
I think imposter syndrome, which is what I would put that under the umbrella of, is such a common yet not necessarily widely spoken about affliction of the entrepreneurs, the sort of constant, who am I to suggest anything or be an expert or whatever? But it's genuinely something that's very common amongst like pretty much every entrepreneur. Even someone like Tony Robbins, who you mentioned earlier, would undoubtedly wake up some days going, who am I to jump on stage in front of a gajillion people or however many his latest audience numbers are? It's quite crazy. What unusual or underrated food or drink should more people try out?
Well, I live in Orange County, so there's a lot of boba shops. If you've never tried boba, you should give it a try.
Boba? What is boba?
They're little tapioca pearls that they put at the bottom of a drink that's usually tea-based. So sometimes it's like a slushy version of that, but sometimes it's just more pure tea or milk tea, and there's boba in there.
Do you know what? I said, what's boba? And I think it was only a couple of days ago. I think I might have accidentally tried my first boba. It came in a drink in an Asian restaurant. I had a slightly larger than normal straw so that they could go up it. They were like little orange pearls. I mushed them at the bottom and it kind of made my drink a bit sweeter. Am I describing boba?
Pretty close. So there's different types of pearls that go in there. So sometimes you get jellies instead of tapioca pearls. It's all similar, but same concept.
Same concept. Interesting. Cool. All right. Well, wow. I love learning. I love learning things. So, and your answers were so succinct then. They were so fast and well thought out. It's like you've done these kind of interviews before, and you've given your wisdom either online or in person before, Jeffro, and you're a pro. So once again, frobro.com is where to check out more of what Jeffro has to offer. And if your website is looking a little bit lousy, not really getting the results you want, or generally doing a disservice to the people that are viewing it, maybe it's time to speak with Jeffro and get your website sorted. And that's the place to do. Is there any asks or requests of the audience listening today you would like to make?
I'd say if you're a business owner and you have not given intentional thought to your website, this is a great chance for you to do that. So think about what you want your website to do, who it's supposed to serve, and is it doing those things? If not, what can you do to start improving that? So don't just assume that your website's the same as everybody else's, where you just need more sales. A lot of times you might need your website to serve your existing customers better. And sometimes you have to think about that, you know, make sure they can find their member login or their downloads, their past purchases, make that process smooth for them, as well as, you know, catering to the new visitors to your site. So I encourage you as business owners, it's very important. Don't let your website be an afterthought. It's not just a box to check. Make it good, and it'll be an asset for your business for a long time.
Amazing. Jeffro, thank you so much for taking the time to share your extensive knowledge on the Smarter Destiny podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for being here with us today.
Thanks for being here with me as well, Martin. I appreciate it, and I had fun.
Hey there, you incredibly good-looking human. Thanks so much for listening. If you had a good time today and would like more good times in the future, please hit that subscribe button and leave a heartwarming review. I read them all and it will go a long way to help others out there benefit from all the teachings of this show. And if you want to get in touch or otherwise learn more about me, head to martincook.co.uk or smarterdestiny.com. I really appreciate you. You're an incredible human. Until next time, keep crushing.